ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
निरूपितव्येतपतस्य साक्षिणा मनोवचोभ्याम् अनुमेयवार्त्मनो देवाक्रियायां प्रतियन्त्यतापि।
O Lord, your transcendental name and form are not ascertained by those who merely speculate on the path of imagination. Your name, form, and attributes can be ascertained only through devotional service. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As stated in the Padma Purana, Atha Sri Krishna Namadi Na Bhave Grayam Indriyai Sevon Muke Hijivado Swayam Eva Spuratyadaha. One cannot understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through one's materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. Since Krishna and his transcendental name, form, and activities are all on a transcendental nature, ordinary persons or those who are only slightly advanced cannot understand them. Even big scholars who are non-devotees think that Krishna is fictitious. But although so-called scholars and commentators do not believe that Krishna was factually a historical person whose presence on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is recorded in the history of Mahabharata, they feel compelled to write commentaries on Bhagavad Gita and other historical records. Sevon muke hijivado swayam eva spuratyada. Krishna's transcendental name, form, attributes, and activities can be revealed only when one engages in his service in full consciousness. This confirms Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam avhijanati yavan chastasmi tattvataha Tato mam tatpato gyatva vishate tat anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Only by sevon mukha, by engaging oneself in the Lord's service, can one realize the name, form, and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Lord, the demigods say, the impersonalists who are non-devotees cannot understand that your name is identical with your form. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his name and his actual form. In the material world, there is a difference between form and name. The mango fruit is different from the name of the mango. One cannot taste the mango fruit simply by chanting, mango, mango, mango. But the devotee who knows that there is no difference between the name and the form of the Lord chants, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and realizes that he is always in Krishna's company. For persons who are not very advanced in absolute knowledge of the Supreme, Lord Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes. They can simply think of the pastimes of the Lord and get the full benefit. Since there is no difference between the transcendental name and the form of the Lord, there is no difference between the transcendental pastimes and the form of the Lord. For those who are less intelligent, like women, laborers, or the mercantile class, The great sage Vyasadeva wrote Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, Krishna is present in his different activities. Mahabharata is history. And simply by studying, hearing, and memorizing the transcendental activities of Krishna, the less intelligent can also gradually rise to the standard of pure devotees. The pure devotees who are always absorbed in the thought of the transcendental lotus feet of Krishna, and who are always engaged in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, are never to be considered to be in the material world. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained that those who are always engaged in Krishna consciousness by body, mind, and activities are to be considered liberated even within this body. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord have already transcended the material position. Krishna appears in order to give a chance to both the devotees and the non-devotees for realization of the ultimate goal of life. The devotees get the direct chance to see him and worship him. Those who are not on that platform get the chance to become acquainted with his activities and thus become elevated to the same position. The Brahma Samhita says, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Bilochanena Santasa Daiva Hridayeshu Bilokayanti Yam Sham Sundaram Achinta Guna Swarupam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Although Krishna's transcendental form is presented as black, devotees who are in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead appreciate the Lord as Sham Sundar, having a very beautiful blackish form. The Lord's form is so beautiful that the Brahma Samhita also states, Venum kvananta maravinda dalayataksam barhavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam kandharpa koti kamani avishesha shobham Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who plays on his transcendental flute. His eyes are like lotus flowers. He is decorated with peacock plumes, and his bodily color resembles the color of a fresh black cloud, although his bodily features are more beautiful than millions of cupids. The beauty of the Supreme Lord can be seen by devotees who are in love with him, devotees whose eyes are anointed with love of Godhead. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. The Lord is also known as Giridhari or Girivaradhari because Krishna, for the sake of his devotees, lifted Govardhan Hill. The devotees appreciate the Lord's inconceivable strength. But non-devotees, in spite of directly perceiving the Lord's inconceivable strength and power, regard the Lord's activities as fictitious. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Non-devotees cannot give any nomenclature for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet the Lord is known as Sham Sundar and Giridhari. Similarly, the Lord is known as Devaki Nandan and Yashoda Nandan, because he accepted the role of son for Mother Devaki and Mother Yashoda. And he is known as Gopal, because he enjoyed the sport of maintaining the cows and calves. Therefore, although he has no mundane name, he is addressed by devotees as Devaki Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, Gopal, and Sham Sundara. These are all transcendental names that only devotees can appreciate and non-devotees cannot. The history of Krishna, the person, has been openly seen by everyone, yet only those who are in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appreciate this history, whereas non-devotees who have not developed their loving qualities think that the activities, form, and attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fictitious.
Therefore, this verse explains, Nanama rupe guna janma karma bhir nirupativye tavatasya shakshinaha. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur has given the example that persons suffering from jaundice cannot taste the sweetness of sugar candy, although everyone knows that sugar candy is sweet. Similarly, because of the material disease, non-devotees cannot understand the transcendental name, form, attributes, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although they actually see the Lord's activities, either through authority or through history, the Puranas are old, authentic histories, but non-devotees cannot understand them, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of Vedic knowledge. Non-devotees cannot understand even the preliminary study of transcendental knowledge, Bhagavad Gita. They simply speculate and present commentaries with absurd distortions. In conclusion, unless one elevates himself to the transcendental position by practicing bhakti yoga, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his name, form, attributes, or activities. But if by chance, by the association of devotees, one can actually understand the Lord and his features, one immediately becomes a liberated person. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me devyam evam yogiti tatvataha tyaktva deham punara janma neti mam eti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not upon leaving the body take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore said that by affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotees can express their mind to him with their words. Others, however, cannot do this, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashtasmitatvataha. O Lord, your transcendental name and form are not ascertained by those who merely speculate in the path of imagination. Your name, form, and attributes can be ascertained only through devotional service. Bhaktyatvananiya shakya aham evam vidorjuna gyatam drastam jatatvena praveshtam japavantava. Only by undivided devotion can I be understood as I am standing before you, my dear Arjuna. In the Gita, Lord Sri Krishna makes very clear that the only approach to understand Krishna as he is through the submissive mood of surrendering to his will, through love and devotion. Krishna says in the Gita, Bhaktoshi me shakacheti rahasyam hetat utamam, that to understand me is the greatest of all mysteries. But because you are my friend and devotee, Arjuna, I am going to reveal everything to you. Raja vidya raja guyam pavitram itam utamam pratyakshavagamam dharamam shushukam karatam avyayam. Knowledge of my transcendental nature is the king of knowledge. It is the most confidential knowledge. it is the most secret of all secrets, and it is the purest knowledge. And only this knowledge can give one direct perception of the self through realization and bring about the ultimate joy of life. So how is it that here Krishna is speaking? And Sanjay is hearing every word of Sri Krishna, narrating it to Dhritarashtra. And meanwhile, Vedavyas, he is narrating exactly all that Sanjay is telling Dhritarashtra of what Krishna said. He is narrating it to Ganesh, who is writing it. And that literature, the original words for the past 5,000 years have been distributed profusely. In fact, here in India, generous-minded people who want to spread the cause of Sanatana Dharma to all classes of men, knowing that essentially India is, by and large, a very poor country, they have printed editions of Bhagavad Gita in which literally anyone can afford. And through them, tens and millions of copies of the Gita have been not only obtained, but read. And besides in Sanskrit, Hindi, Marathi, Telugu, Punjabi, Gujarati, Tamil, all the great languages of India, each one, millions and millions, tens and millions of Bhagavad Gitas have been distributed, printed, and read. And languages all over the world. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he saw that there was practically 100 translations of the Bhagavad Gita in the English language. And every one of them is repeating exactly Krishna's words. So why does Krishna say the Gita is the most secret of all secrets? And it is the most confidential knowledge. Something that is confidential is only given to a very select, qualified few. And something that is secret is not spoken out loud. It is kept under very confined discipline restriction of who's allowed to hear a secret. In this age of Kali Yuga, where people have such inability to control their tongues that practically nothing can be kept secret anymore. And according to the Mahabharata, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the father of Dharma, cursed that from the day on that Kunti revealed that Karna was her eldest son. From that day on, according to Yudhisthira's, you may call it a benediction or a curse. We call it a benediction. Women call it a curse. That a woman cannot keep a secret. It's not possible. As long as she thinks she's a woman. If she understands she's a spirit soul, she can do anything. But as long as she thinks I'm a woman, she cannot. So how many women have heard Bhagavad Gita? Huh? Here in Bombay, there's some man, he is a very famous scholar, and he is teaching so many hundreds, 500 Bhagavad Gita discourses, and every time there's thousands of people who attend, and over half are women who can't keep secrets. So why Krishna says that this is the most secret of all secrets? You can go to any bookstore. You can go to any temple and get a copy and read it and see exactly what Krishna says. The most confidential knowledge. We have to take Bhagavad Gita literally. Krishna explains to Arjuna. Bhaktoshimesha kacheti rahasyam hetadutama. That knowledge of understanding me is the greatest mystery. Bhaktyatvana niyashakya aham evam vidorjana gyatam jastam chatatvaina praveshtam cha parantapa. Although externally this knowledge is being revealed profusely to everyone, Krishna says, I only reveal from within the heart an understanding of what is being said by one who is my devotee and my friend. Therefore, in fact, it is the supreme secret. It is the most confidential knowledge. It's a transcendental secret. Imagine how Krishna has done like this. He distributes his words, the exact same words, to millions and billions. And although you're hearing it every day, it's a secret. You cannot understand it. You cannot enter into the true essence of what he's saying unless you surrender to him, unless you become a devotee of his devotee. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he really had no intention on writing his own Bhagavad Gita. He was just working on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was thinking, no one has translated Bhagavatam in English. But Bhagavad Gita, so many. So he picked up so many others and said, I will teach from this. I will give these to my disciples. But when he read the commentaries, he said, the translations are correct. But the commentaries spoil everything. Everyone is giving their own opinion. There was one very, very famous commentator of Bhagavad Gita. His Bhagavad Gita has been read by tens of millions of people over the past decades. And I myself have read it. I didn't know this is before I met Srila Prabhupada. And so many people I knew, they were very much thinking, this is a wonderful edition of Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada told us one day, it was shocking, doing Bhagavatam class, that this particular author of the Bhagavad Gita did not believe that Krishna ever existed. He quoted him. He actually had a book that with his words, he quoted him. That I cannot believe that Krishna was a historical person. For the sake of establishing Dharma, great thinkers, compassionate thinkers, have created this figure of Krishna to speak the words of truth. But Krishna could not have possibly existed. Because if God existed, he would never encourage violence. And he would have never performed immoral acts like he had done during the Surat season at night in Brajadham. God could never have done that. He's the father of morality. Therefore, I have to reject that he has ever existed. But I'll preach his words with my heart and soul for people to accept and believe me, because what he's saying is good. But what is he saying? Mata parataram nanyat kinchirasti dananjayat. There is no truth superior to me. Everything is resting on me as pearls are strung on a thread. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvata. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashasmi tattvataha. Only by pure unalloyed devotion to me can one understand me as I am and return to the kingdom of God.
Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yajim nam namaskuru mam evaishashi satyam te prati jani priyoshime.
Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage to me. In this way you will come to me without fail.
Sarva dharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami masaj.
Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. On every page of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is demanding total surrender to him, to always think of him, to understand him as the truth of everything. And when Krishna manifested his Virat Rupa to Arjuna, he said, time I am devouring all living creatures. And what was Arjuna's conclusion?
Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitrami, Damuttamam, Pratyakshavagamam, Dharmam, Susukam, Karatam, Avyayam.
You are the Supreme Brahman, Krishna. You are the purest of the pure. You are the greatest of the great. You are the supreme goal of life.
Ahustvam rishaya sarve devarshir naradastata asito devalo vyasa svayam chaiva bhavishyame.
And Arjuna said, I am not only saying this, but all the great sages and rishis have said this about you.
Narada, Devala, Asita, Vyas,
they are all claiming you to be the supreme proprietor, to be the supreme dham, to be the supreme controller, to be the supreme Brahman. So Bhagavad Gita is a scripture through and through, on every level, simply encouraging us to understand Krishna. And the greatest commentators do not even believe that Krishna ever historically existed.
Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjuna.
Krishna says, one who understands my transcendental nature, how I appear and my activities in this world, never takes birth in this world again. This verse in and of itself cancels out anyone who does not surrender to Krishna as the supreme Godhead. And these same translators, they are writing right in their book,
Avajananti mam mudham anushintanam ashrita param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram.
Fools deride me when I descend in this human form. They think me to be an ordinary being. They do not understand my supreme dominion all over all that be and my purely transcendental nature. He's talking right to the commentator. He's telling them directly to their face that you're a fool. And they hear it. But it's such a secret that although he's saying it, he's screaming it right in their ears, they can't understand that they're fools. How is that possible? But any devotee, when Prabhupada read it, he sees these men are all fools by Krishna's standard. But the rest of the world is reading their commentators thinking, oh, how wonderful, how nice, how scholarly, how enlightening. But what is Krishna saying about them? Bhagavad Gita as it is, it can only be understood as it is through the lips of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada, this is the singular only problem with all these commentators. They're trying by their own intellect to understand the most secret of all secrets, the most confidential of all confidential knowledge. It is only revealed through a heart that loves Krishna. It cannot be understood by one's mind, by one's scholarship. You can study Sanskrit for millions of births and never understand Bhagavad Gita. If you don't even know one word of Sanskrit, you can understand it perfectly if you hear it from someone who loves Krishna. Where in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say to learn Sanskrit? Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina svata darshana. If you want to learn the truth, learn Sanskrit. Where does it say that? It says, if you want to know the truth, you approach a bona fide guru who loves me. You inquire with a submissive heart and you serve him with love. If you serve one who loves me with love, then Krishna will reveal that love to you. That is the only way of understanding the truth. And therefore, devotees are not impressed by anything except bhakti. And Srila Rupa Goswami in his great writings have very tremendously stressed this principle. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktaruttama. That pure devotional service is not mixed in any way, shape, or form with karma kanda, jnana kanda, astanga kanda. Pure devotional service is simply for the pleasure of Krishna. No speculation. No desire for fruit of returns for our activities in spiritual life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this beautiful example to Srila Sanatan Goswami. He was actually quoting one passage from a commentary of Sri Madhavacharya. And there he described that there was an astrologer of the name of Sarvagya. And this astrologer was approached by a very, very poor man, a man who was suffering great poverty. And when the astrologer calculated, Sarvagya told him that, I don't understand why you're in such a poverty-stricken state. Do you not know that your father was a very, very immensely wealthy man? And he has a great treasure that is worth enormous amounts of wealth. And your father buried that treasure right in the very yard that you live. But unfortunately, your father died when he was traveling to some distant place, and he never told you where it was. And this man, who thought he was in such a hopeless, helpless state, when he heard from this man that actually his father was rich and left him a treasure, great hope sprang from his heart. He actually had a reason and a purpose to live, and an idea that there will be prosperity in my life. And then he asked the astrologer, Sarvagya, where is the treasure? Please tell me. I'll never find it on my own. And he said, do not dig on the southern side. Because on the southern side, if you dig, you will not find the treasure. You will find poisonous wasps. And they will come and sting you and cause you great pain and suffering. And do not go to the western side, because there you will find a ghost, a yaksha, who will cause you so much mental disturbance and harassment that you'll be completely bewildered. And do not go on the northern side, because there is an enormous black serpent who will eat you, devour you. But you just dig just a small amount of dirt on the eastern side, and there you will find the vast treasure which will bring you joy and happiness in life. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Srila Sanatana Goswami how this relates to one's spiritual progress in life. On the southern side, this is to be considered the path of Karmakanda. In the Vedas, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna. Krishna says the Vedas mainly deal with materialistic activities. The Vedas mainly deal with how to better enjoy the modes of material nature. Give these up, Arjuna. Surrender to me. Abandon all these varieties of religion. Just surrender to me. Just love me. That's all. Just be in love with me, Krishna says. But on the southern side, these wasps, they represent the direction of the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, where one performs rituals, one performs sacrifices, one gives in charity and performs pious work, one observes strict vows for the sake of promotion to higher realms of material prosperity. He said that these promises of the Karmakanda division of the Vedas and the goals that you achieve through them are like wasps. Because they are temporary, ultimately you are stung by the suffering of losing everything you gain through all your great sacrifices, piety and charity. Abrama bhuvana loka punara vartano arjuna mamu petyatu kondya punara janmana vidyate. Krishna says from the highest planet to the lowest, they're all places where you are stung by the wasp of suffering, because everything is temporary. So do not dig where those wasps will come and sting you and make you so much pain. And on the western side, there is a yaksha, a ghost. And that ghost will bewilder your mind and create so much mental disturbance. This is the path of Gyanakand. The ghost represents the mind. The mind is so mysterious and so whimsical and so difficult to control. And when you try to understand through your own intelligence, through your own mental capacity, through the speculations of others, who is God? What is God? What is the soul? When people speculate about the meaning of the scriptures without surrendering to a pure devotee of the Lord, this is called Gyanakand. You're surrendering to your own mind or to the mind of another. And that mind is like a yaksha, like a ghost, like a phantom. And it will cause you such disturbance that you'll be totally bewildered and you'll never find the treasure. And on the northern side, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami, is that big black serpent. The northern side represents the yoga marg of the Vedas, Astanga Kanda. Through the process of mysticism, one attains great, great powers, and ultimately one can enter into the oneness of Brahman through mukti, through liberation. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that this mukti or liberation is like a big black serpent which swallows you. Just like a small serpent is eaten by a big serpent and they become one. But that is not a very pleasurable experience. So this is likened to the path of the liberationists. That you lose your identity, you lose your independent desire to love and to serve the Supreme Lord.
all of devotional attributes, as well as all material attributes, all attributes are devoured. There's nothing left. This is more painful than death. In that condition, your propensities for loving service to the Lord are temporarily extinguished. Therefore, you go to the eastern side. That is Upasana Kanda. That is the path of bhakti, the path of pure devotional service. By pleasing Krishna, by pleasing his devotees, Krishna reveals himself. He reveals the treasure of pure love of God. He reveals the immense, unlimited, infinite pleasure of the constitutional nature of the soul in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, where there is no more birth, no more death, no more old age, no more disease. Uninterrupted, unalloyed service. Satchit Ananda, the infinite joy of the soul, comes only when we learn to fall in love with Krishna. That is bhakti. So here the demigods, they are explaining to us that it is only through this path of bhakti, only through humbling ourselves before one who is loving Krishna, that is the only means of understanding Krishna in truth. Prahlad Maharaj has similarly explained that you cannot understand Krishna through any mental speculation, through any taking of vows, through any piety or charity. You cannot even accept by studying of scripture. You cannot understand by any means except taking the dust from the feet of those who love Krishna and decorating one's body with that. What does that mean? It is not simply an external act of putting dust on our physical bodies. The feet of the great souls represents service to the great souls. By taking the dust from the feet means to inquire submissively and render service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that you cannot understand Krishna through any scripture. You can only understand Krishna through the hearts of those who have surrendered to him. Because the conclusion of the scriptures, the essence of the scriptures, is only revealed through them. Such great souls, they speak nothing but the scripture. They will not go outside the confines of the scripture in their narrations or in what they do in life. But their pure hearts are revealing the truth of the Shastra to our lives. And without humbling ourselves in the path of bhakti through this process, the transcendental form, name, and qualities of the Lord can never be understood and realized. Therefore, the devotees of the Lord, who are on the authorized line of devotional service, they do not simply take pleasure in trying to understand what Krishna said. They do take pleasure in understanding what Krishna said, but they realize it through worshiping his divine form and through chanting his holy name, because this is his primary instruction. So when we come together to chant the holy name of Krishna, this is the highest process of realization. Prakasananda Saraswati accused Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "You are a sannyasi of the Bharati Sampradaya. You should be here with us speculating with your mind to understand Vedanta Sutra. What are you doing with all these sentimental low-class men and women and children dancing and chanting?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him, "My guru said I was a fool. This is all I can understand is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And by his humility, like bait, he opened their minds, opened their hearts. Then he totally annihilated their whole philosophy with his superior philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. And what was the conclusion? That they all realized that there's no other way to Krishna except through his, through having complete faith that he is non-different than his form and he is non-different than his name. And then all the great sannyasis, tens and thousands of them in Varanasi, all began to chant with great joy, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Is there any questions?